The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
Let me get you a piece of paper, write down some notes, because I believe God is going to give us great insight into how to receive encouragement from the Word of God, how to endure and be encouraged even in times like these. I believe that. So Romans 15:4 again says that everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, that's me and you, so that through endurance and encouragement of the Scripture, we might have hope. We might have what? Hope. You know what the world needs more than anything else? Hope. What is the enemy doing his absolute best to take away from people? Hope. Hope. And hope comes from being encouraged in the Word of God. That's where we get our hope from. Christian biblical hope is not, boy, I hope so. It is, I know so, I expect it to be so, and I have hope because of that. Now let's glance at Romans 15:13, and we're going to move back to the book of Isaiah here after this. Romans 15:13, the Apostle Paul writing to the Roman church, where were they located? In Rome, home of the Colosseum. Is that making sense to anybody? Home of the Roman emperors, home of all the false worship. He's writing to the church in Rome, surrounded by paganism. At one point, the Roman emperor literally used Christians as sources of lighting. They took Christians and put them on stakes and drenched them with oil and lit them on fire alive. Sounds like something Hamas would do. Evil is evil. It's not the organization or the group that perpetrates it. Evil is evil. And the reason why I just dabbled and went there a little bit is because Paul wrote these words of encouragement. He said, you can have encouragement and you can have hope from the Word. Who do you write it to? To the Christians living in Rome. Now, verse 13, he said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Fill you with all what? Joy and peace as you do what? What do you got to do to get that joy and peace? You just got to trust him. So that you may overflow with what? You'll overflow with hope by the power of who? Holy Spirit. So if you're going to live a life that's filled with hope, you're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to look to the Word of God for your encouragement and endurance. And you need to know the presence of the Holy Spirit because He is the one that fills you with hope. Leave Holy Spirit out of your life. Your hope's going to be wishy-washy at best. But Holy Spirit, the literal presence of God, who is the God of hope, fills you with hope as you trust in Him. So think about that. Think about the fact that he wrote before that, that everything that was written in the past was written for our encouragement so we could learn. And now let's go back to the past, to the book of Isaiah chapter 36. As the Lord birthed this message in my heart, I felt very compelled to have us read it verse by verse. Isaiah 36. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah, and he captured them. Then the king of Assyria sent his field commander with a large army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. When the commander stopped at the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the watchman's field, Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, the recorder, went out to him. Let's look up for just a second. I want to summarize this. All right. First of all, Sennacherib, he was the king of what is known as Assyria. Not Syria, Assyria. So I want to define now, for our purposes, what was the kingdom of the Assyrians? Or where is it? And here's what I've learned, that Assyria was part of the region known as Mesopotamia. Who's heard of that? Sounds like a mess to me. Mesopotamia. And Mesopotamia is divided in two parts. The northern part was the Assyrian Empire. The southern part was the Babylonian Empire. Now, I challenge you, find a place in the Bible dealing with ancient Israel where they weren't up against either the Assyrians or the Babylonians. these wars and these rumors of wars and these battles and these things that are taking place, they're not new. They're not new. Ever since Abram entered into covenant with God, because God chose him and called him, Abram, who became Abraham, the father of our faith, the one who God, Jehovah God, made covenant with, who had one son, and then that one son had 12 sons, and one of those became known as Israel. His name is Jacob. So two generations after Abraham is a man who God changes his name to Israel, and then he has 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. Ever since Abram started following Jehovah God, these people from Mesopotamia have been messing with him. And as history progressed further and further and further, you see these literal evil regimes come against God's people. Now listen, I'm not just preaching this because of what's going on in the world. I didn't look at the news and go, hey God, I'd like to preach something that lines up with what's going on. That's not how this came about. This was actually in my notes from about a month and a half ago, one of those days. How many of y'all know that sometimes I make notes and I don't use them? I had a note about this before Israel was attacked by Hamas recently. Okay? So here is this king of Assyria, Sennacherib, ruler of the northern part of Mesopotamia, and here's the region where that kingdom was from. Here's what countries you would recognize it was made up of. It was part of Syria, Lebanon, northern Iraq, southeast Turkey, and northwest Iran. So this guy that's coming against Israel, he was a king over a region that included Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, Turkey, and Iran. All those are still, to this day, enemies of God's people Israel. Okay? So these wars are nothing new. Here's a question. The Holy Spirit had me write this down. This is nothing new. The enemy has always tried to destroy Israel. Here's the question. Could it be because of Messiah, Christ Jesus? Are we warring against flesh and blood? If you read your Bible, you know you're not warring against flesh and blood. Evil takes hold of flesh and blood. And evil takes hold of flesh and blood and causes flesh and blood to do things like behead babies and burn people alive. If you don't think that's evil, there's something, well, you're so warped you don't know what evil is anymore. If you don't see that, that's absolute evil. Only Satan could inspire a human being to commit such atrocities. It's been going on since ancient times. But God always has a remnant. God always intervenes, and I believe God will and is even today. So Sennacherib comes against him. I want you to notice in verse 1, he's already attacked, captured, and fortified the cities of Judah. That's the southern part of Israel. And then he sends his members to go talk to the Israelites, the northern kingdom of Israel, specifically to send a message to the king. Now, the palace administrator, secretary, and recorder went out to meet that field commander there. The field commander said to him, verse 4, tell Hezekiah, or tell your king, this is what the great king, the king of Assyria, says. On what are you basing this confidence of yours? Now, what we're going to do as we go through this, remember, everything that was written before time was written for what? For our learning, or so that we could learn from the scriptures. So what we're going to learn, we're not going to learn about Sennacherib. He's not the problem. He's the flesh and blood involved in the situation, but he's not the source of it. God is the defender of Israel, and the enemy desires to destroy Israel. The enemy of God desires to destroy anything that's of God. And if there was ever anything that was of God, it's the church. Church ain't a building, by the way. We know that. It's individuals who've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, become born again, followers of Jesus, children of the living God. That's the church. And the enemy hates the church, and he come against us now, just like he will come against them then and them now. So what we're going to learn as we watch this man, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, what we're going to learn is that the tactics haven't changed. And we can get some great insight in what he tries to pull and how we ought to respond. So the first thing Sennacherib did, I'm going to say it this way. The first thing the enemy did was this. He said, on what are you basing this confidence of yours? He begins to question your belief. He begins to question your trust, your confidence. On what are you basing this confidence? Verse 5, sounds like the accuser. You say that you have strategy and military strength, but you speak only empty words. On whom are you depending that you would rebel against me? Look now, verse 6 says, you're depending on Egypt, that splintered reed of a staff that pierces a man's hands and wounds him if he leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who depend on him. So he's accusing them. First of all, he goes, on what are you basing this confidence? And then he mentioned, he goes, you're basing this confidence on your own military strength. That ain't going to work. And if you're basing this confidence on your allies coming to rescue you, that ain't going to work. He's pointing that out to him. He's sowing seeds of doubt. First one, then another. One from the left, one from the right. He's sowing seeds of doubt. He's trying to create a scenario where they will question their trust in God. When Satan showed up in the garden, he didn't show up in power and authority and command Eve to take that fruit. He said, has God really said? And then he misquoted what God said. He goes, has God really said you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? That's what he said. If you don't believe it, go read it in Genesis. But the enemy always takes what God said, what God promised, and gives it a little twist to try to create doubt, at the very least, confusion. A lot of confusion in the world today, right? A lot of doubt in the world today, too. But what the enemy's trying to get at, he's trying to get at your confident trust in God. So here he is, and he's attacking them in the natural. But what he's really doing, we would call it today, psychological warfare. Psychological warfare is actually spiritual warfare. Because when the enemy's speaking things, either through a person or just your own thoughts, they're not really yours, they're just thoughts that sound like yours. But whether the enemy's using people or he's using thoughts or he's using the media or he's using this, that, if he's trying to stir up and create doubt and confusion and rock your trust in God, that's spiritual warfare. Is he trying to get in your head? Absolutely he's trying to get in your head. You want to know why? Because he knows your head or your mind is the gate to your spirit. What you allow to go into your mind and remain in your mind and you agree with it will get in your spirit. That's why you shouldn't watch garbage or listen to garbage unless you want a life that is garbage. That's the truth. So he said, who are you depending on? If you're depending on Egypt, you're in trouble. Verse 7, if you say, now watch this, he's already caused them to try to doubt their military strength, their allies. Verse 7, if you say to me, he says, we are depending on the Lord, our God. That's Jehovah, by the way, the Lord, our God. Isn't he the one whose high places and altars Hezekiah removed, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, you must worship before this altar? I want to inform you something about those high places that got removed. They weren't worshiping Jehovah God on them high places. They were worshiping this one, that one, and the other one. Oh, yeah, and by the way, they would also worship Jehovah there. You know what that's like? That's like a man asking his wife to scoot over in bed because his girlfriend's there. That's how God feels about it when you trust in something that's not him. Amen. So he said, if you think you're trusting in your God, let me remind you that your own leadership is the one that ain't doing things God's way. So what he's actually doing now, he said, I'll sow some doubt about your military strength. I'll sow doubt about your allies. Now I'm going to sow doubt about your leadership. Because after all, your leadership's ungodly. So you can't trust in God. That's what he's doing. Is he doing anything new or different today? No, same old stuff. So he says after that, verse 8, come now, make a bargain. Make a bargain. Make a bargain with my master, king of Assyria. I'll give you 2,000 horses if you can put riders on them. He's pointing out the smallness of their army. How can you repulse one officer of the least of my master's officials, even though you're depending on Egypt for chariots and horsemen? And furthermore, have I come to attack and destroy this land without the Lord? The Lord himself told me to march against this country and destroy it. There is an element of truth in that. The king of Assyria was appointed by God to come and bring a judgment to Israel. because they had been throwing God under the bus for a long time, worshiping other things. But God did not tell him to destroy it. God had made promises that Israel would never be destroyed. So again, the enemy takes an element of truth and twists it to once again create doubt and confusion concerning your trust in God. Same old stuff. Same old stuff. So then Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah, that's the cabinet officials, king of Israel, said to the field commander, please speak to us, your servants, in what language? Aramaic. What do the Arabs speak in that region today? Aramaic. He said, don't speak to us in Aramaic. Speak to us in Hebrew within the hearing of the people on the wall. What language do the people of Israel speak today besides English? Hebrew. So the more things change, the more they remain the same. These officials from Israel knew how to speak Aramaic. And they didn't want the people back there that didn't speak it, that only spoke Hebrew, they didn't want them getting discouraged. So they said, hey, speak to us in your language, because they don't need to hear it. Watch what happens. The commander replied, was it only to your master and you that my master sent me to say these things and not to the men sitting on the wall? Watch this. Who will have to, like you, they will have to eat their own filth and drink their own urine. What is he saying? He's saying we are going to surround this city and we're going to keep every supply you got from reaching here. You're going to be behind those walls so long without food and water that you're going to eat your own filth and drink your own urine. That's a threat. It's a pretty graphic threat. Because if you don't come and make a bargain with us, you're going to be so beat down that you're going to get in that situation, every one of you. And they were talking loud, and they were talking in Hebrew, which ain't even their native language. And they were doing it because the enemy wanted to make sure he spoke it in a way that it meant something. I want to give you a tactic of the enemy right now. I'm going to expose his tactic. He won't speak to you the same way he will speak to me. Because we don't speak the same language. You say, yeah, we do. We all speak English. I'm not talking about that language. I'm talking about the way we understand things, the way we see things. In other words, the enemy, one of his tactics is to make it personal. You might write in your notes, the enemy wants to make it personal. He always wants to make it about you. Hallelujah. The reason I say hallelujah is because we're exposing all of his tricks. He's already used everything he's got in his toolbox, and he's still defeated. Amen.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today, and would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
So the commander stood and called out in Hebrew, verse 13, hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Don't let Hezekiah deceive you. He cannot deliver you. But that's just throwing the fear tactics. How many people, how many millions have been manipulated by fear tactics rather than trusting God? Come on, you don't have to think back but a couple years, right? So everybody say, never again. Come on, never again. He said, don't let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord when he says, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given to the hand of the king of Assyria. Don't listen to Hezekiah. So here's a tactic of the enemy. When God puts a faith leader in your life, when God puts a voice in your life that says, trust in the Lord. The Lord will save us. The Lord is for us. God is good. The enemy wants to go, you can't trust them. So the enemy sows seeds of doubt and discord. Don't listen, verse 16. Don't listen to Hezekiah. This is what the king of Assyria says. Watch what he says. This is how the devil talks to you too. He goes, make peace with me. Come out to me. I mean, you know, you try to go to church, you try to do things right, you're all singing that plead to blood. The enemy goes, I don't like that song. But if you just back off a little bit and quit being so stinking religious, quit being a Bible-thumping Jesus freak. But you remember when your life was so much easier? You know, you're partying, you're having it good, man. You remember? Well, if it was really that good, you'd have stayed there, right?
Right.
Nothing new. The Bible says nothing new under the sun. Devil's using the same old tactics. And when you recognize him, I pray to God, if he tries to use this nonsense on you, you'll laugh at him. And then plead the blood. Amen. He said, come and make peace with me. Come out. How many of you know you can't make peace with people that want your annihilation? Listen to me, friends, Christians, believers, even unbelievers, if you listen to me. You can't make peace with the devil. Jesus said the thief, the devil, comes only. Everybody say only.
Only.
He comes only to do three things. It's actually one goal, but it's three parts. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal the word of God out of your life, steal your trust in God, steal your confidence in God, whatever word you want to put in there, steal your relationship with God. Then he can begin to kill. And listen, killing your body is not the worst thing that could happen to you. Being eternally destroyed is the worst thing that could ever happen to you. And the thief comes to steal, because he can't kill you before he steals the word out of your life. What he can do is steal your confidence in God, steal your faith, steal your hope, steal your trust to the point where you don't want God. Listen to me. God promised he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. If you can find a promise in there where it says, I will never leave or forsake him, I would certainly like to know about it because I can't find it. But I've only been looking for 30 years. I've not found it. I've not found in there where it says, I will not forsake God. I've found over and over and over where God said, I will not forsake you. If I acknowledge him, he will acknowledge me. If I deny him, what will he do? He will deny me. Who said that? Jesus. And when Jesus says it, you take it to the spiritual bank. Amen. So the enemy's just same old stuff. Listen to me. Cries for false unity. False unity. We've heard it. We've heard it in speeches of American officials. Cries for false unity. We've heard it from the United Nations. Trade this land for peace. You probably don't know this, most of you. But Israel completely vacated the Gaza Strip in 2005 to give the Palestinians a place that they could have of their own. And you know what they did with it? They came in there. Hamas comes in there. Other terror groups come in there and just begin to set up camp. And the only thing on their mind is that we are now right on Israel's doorstep so we can now annihilate them off the face of the earth. You need to know this. Israel has offered to have a two-state solution with the Palestinians four times. And every time the Palestinians rejected it, saying, we don't want to live by you. We don't want you to live. The only reason that they even wanted Gaza was it's a good place to launch missiles from. And all the money that the world community sent over there, including literally billions right now, and they're talking about sending some more humanitarian aid. Well, I'm all for humanitarian aid, but here's a fact. When you have a government called Hamas or in any terrorist government, you can't give them money and say, buy food and clothing and medical supplies for your people because they won't do it. You say, well, we won't give them money. We'll give them first aid kits. And we'll give them actual food. You know what they'll do with it? They'll sell it on the black market and get money to buy more weaponry. The world donated cement by the tons to build the Palestinians' homes with. You know what Hamas did with it? Built tunnels. This is truth. Because they don't want peace. Because they are not led by he who is the Prince of Peace. They're deceived. They are deceived. If you believe what they believe, and you thought like they thought, you might find it's hard to believe, but you would do the things that they do. They, as human beings, in and of themselves, they're not evil. They just have been led into an ideology and a belief system that causes them to do the work of the enemy. They call America the great Satan and Israel the little Satan, but who's the one beheading people? It ain't Israel, and it ain't the United States. Everybody say, nothing new. Somebody might be listening to me and say, you know what, to be honest, Pastor, I'm just concerned about my four and no more. Well, first of all, you dreaming that you could live in that sort of isolation. You're dreaming. That's a fantasy. And if you don't think that what affects the world over there, here, there, and everywhere will affect us, think about this. I'm not saying this to promote fear. I'm saying this to promote caution and prayer. On the day that Hamas invaded Israel, they estimate there's about 1,000 terrorists. They're not freedom fighters. They're terrorists. They came over there to spread terror, to kill, steal, and destroy. In the last 2 years, there have been almost 1,000 people caught by our border patrol that are on the terrorist watch list. So, well, thank God they caught them. Let me ask you a question. Where are they? And how many did they not catch? And here's another question. If you remember being back, some of y'all are too young to remember this, but the most horrific terrorist attack on American soil happened. We know it as September 11th. How many people did it take to perpetrate that heinous act of terror? The answer, 19. I can guarantee you this, there's far more than 19 terrorists living in the United States. If you don't believe that, watch some reputable news like CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network. Look at the college demonstrations that are going on and around cities in this nation and how the pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian riots. Charlie Kirk, who's a Christian speaker with a great ministry of information in this country, some of his staff members were literally beaten by Hamas sympathizers in the United States in the suburbs of Chicago trying to protect an elderly Jewish couple to help get them in a building. And these Hamas people just attacked them mercilessly, kicking them, punching them, gave one of them a concussion. Listen, it's not the people. It's the spirit. And that same spirit was at work back here, and it's recorded. So we can find out the tactics of the enemy. Everything that was written before time was written for us so that through it we can learn. Learning brings encouragement, not discouragement. Don't be discouraged about what's going on in the world today. Don't be discouraged at all. Because we're going to read the end of the story. And it always ends the same. Different plot, different characters, same ending. He always ends up totally, utterly defeated and destroyed. I don't know why he even keeps trying.
Thank you for joining us today on the Truth Broadcast. We invite you to join us on next week's program as Pastor Dwight continues this powerful message from God's Word. If you would like to request a free digital copy of today's teaching in its entirety, contact us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. For prayer requests, you can call or text us at 580-515-4319.
There's a scripture in God's Word found in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25 that declares, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. My prayer today is that the good word that you've heard here on this program will lift your spirits and lift your heart. Peter, the apostle, encouraged us in 1 Peter 5:7 to cast all of our anxiety, all of our care on the Lord because he cares for us. He's faithful and he cares. If you're feeling weighed down today, let me help you cast those cares on the Lord. Pray with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come before you today. You know my thoughts. You know my feelings. You know every situation of my life. And God, today I choose to fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I choose to cast all my care on you, Father God, because I believe in your faithfulness and I believe you care for me. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.